Daniel chapter 10. I do love laughing with you, enjoying you. It is good. It is good. Let's read Daniel chapter 10. We're in this section of the scriptures that God is revealing to Daniel great and wonderful things, but they are overwhelming as well. I want us to try to put ourselves in the place of Daniel. Daniel is now in his 80s, and so he is going to have another revelation from God, and so let me help you with this. So when we read chapter 10, chapter 10 is really kind of the revelation of the person or people, and we'll talk about that, in Revelation chapter 10 that are going to then speak in Revelation chapter 11 and 12. So it is good that we have a chapter break, and I try to stay disciplined with that because I will be doing everything I can next week to do all of chapter 11, 45 verses. And what it does is it gives just some incredible prophecies that people want to try to claim that the book of Daniel was not written when it truly was. And so let's read this tonight. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. I'm just going to read this, and so I'm going to try to read it without commentary. I'll commentate on it enough after that. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now, then it switches in verse 2. Daniel starts talking in the first person. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, crying, weeping 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the river, by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness or my beauty or my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And whom he had spoken, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb or speechless. Verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth or joineth with me, none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. That's the first time you've read that. You're probably like, hey, great, thanks for nothing. And so that's the Bible. I want you to understand this. You read that first time, don't just go through it, read it again. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. On your trip home tonight, you could listen to Daniel chapter 10. If you're 15 minutes away, you could listen to Daniel chapter 10 probably 7 times. Just listen to it, and it will help you visually. The Old Testament, particularly these books, are great in doing that. Title of the message tonight, Daniel, distraught and seeking understanding. Daniel, distraught and seeking understanding. Look at verse 1. It gives the timing. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The Bible hadn't mentioned his Babylonian given name in quite some time. And the thing was true. This thing that was revealed was true. But the time appointed was long. It was going to cover a long period of time. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And so then Daniel, we're going to see this in a second, he's distraught. Third year of Cyrus. Some of you might have that trigger. What happened in the first year of Cyrus? Zerubbabel and a crew were sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. I think I put this on here. Let's see. I think I did Ezra. Yeah, I did. Ezra chapter 4. I want to show you this. So Zerubbabel goes back, the first contingent of Jews that return. Cyrus gives the decree in his first year, and he says, you can go back. And so that's good. I mean, jubilation. We're going back to the homeland. We're going back to Jerusalem. And then they show up and see what state it's in. I remember when we got this building, jubilation. Until you walk in and you're like, where do we start? And so it is, it's kind of a reality check, right? Let me just show you. This is Ezra chapter 4. They got opposition. You're going to find opposition. You try to do something for God. You try to do something right. Don't be discouraged with opposition. Be encouraged with opposition. Daniel chapter 4 says, Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of their fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Let me show you just a few verses later in Ezra 4. It says, Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Some of you may remember, they were sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They got so discouraged, their enemies weakened their hands. 15-year gap. They started building, they got discouraged, and they stopped for 15 years. It's not sure if by the third year of Cyrus, there's some that think so, there's some that think not. But I think Daniel, not only was he challenged, was he overwhelmed with this vision, but I think Daniel was overwhelmed for his people too. The question is, by some, why didn't Daniel go back with that first tranche of Jews that went back to Jerusalem, probably his age. Traveling that far at that age would probably, you might not make it. And so Daniel's faithful. He's faithful and he serves the Lord. But he did, I'm sure, get word back. So it's been a couple years that the people have been building. And it's just hard work, especially when you are being fought against every corner that you turn around. So Daniel's distraught, and what does he do? I want you to notice one other thing. Look at verse 14 before I jump into this. This is this messenger, whoever this messenger is, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Verse 14 says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people." So this is the messenger telling Daniel what's going to befall the children of Israel, the Jews, the nation of Israel. So verse 14, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." And so if you believe as I do, the latter days, I think, are the latter days. And so we haven't, you know, it's not the latter days of something that's not the latter days. I think it's the latter days. I mean, I don't think we have to say that, but so this when you get into chapters 11, chapter 12, you're going to see things that were fulfilled within 300-400 years of this prophecy, and then you're going to see things that still are not fulfilled as to be. That's what I believe. But Daniel was discouraged, so what does he do? Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. How many of you ever heard, and I've just heard of it this year. Maybe I'm just out of touch. The Daniel fast? Raise your hand, let me see it. 21-day Daniel fast, right? It's picking up steam and becoming popular, and I don't think it's a terrible thing. But one of the things that I want you to see if I can quickly find this. Look, if you will, look at verse 12. You want to understand a little bit of fasting. In 21 days, we'll see exactly what Daniel did, but look at verse 12. "Then he," this is the messenger, or one of the messengers, "then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand," the first day of his 21-day fast, "and to chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So I want you to understand, when we are trying to understand the purpose of fasting, the purpose of it, and what it includes, chastening of yourself. That would be self-discipline, self-correction. That would be a complete review of your walk with God, of your love for God, and you would chasten yourself. You would afflict yourself. If God chastens, it's, you know, think of it like a spanking, right? You would chasten yourself, and Daniel was doing that. Daniel wanted to seek God's face, and so he chastened himself, and he talked to God. Those are two elements of fasting. Now look back at verse 2 and 3. So he's upset. So I want you to understand this. If you're distraught, it might be worth you privately and alone. And I know in our world it can be more difficult because we eat on the run so much. And you know, you want to keep it private. So it's very difficult, you know, when you're fasting. You're like, no, thank you. And then, you know, people are so kind. They're like, no, I insist. And you're like, I'm fasting, man. Would you leave me alone? Right? So it's, but if you're distraught, Daniel was distraught. Nothing else was more important. Food's pretty important to us. He said, I'm going to set everything aside. I'm going to examine my heart. I want God to examine my heart. I'm going to chasten myself. I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to seek his face. And what's so interesting, he got Daniel's attention. You remember in chapter 9, let me see if I can find it quickly here. Chapter 9, I am not even, where is it in chapter 9 where Gabriel flies unto him, where he says that terminology? It's verse 21. Look back at chapter 9, verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking, so Daniel was praying, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, The commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. Now, this is so fascinating that in verse 12 that talks about the chastening, this angel says, fear not, Daniel, verse 12, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, I think it doesn't take too much to understand, this is an evil prince, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 21 days, so 21 days, and it says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. You see here maybe another name for angels are princes. There's bad princes and good princes. Michael's a good one. But is this fascinating to you? That Daniel got God's attention, and yet we're going to trust in the Lord that God sent the messenger. In verse 12 and 13, he tells us he was delayed 21 days. Interesting. Don't be discouraged. Be steadfast. Daniel was not going to stop his fast, this is my conclusion, until he had understanding from God. Daniel was seeking understanding. I'm giving you and me more reasons to say, if it's really that big a deal, stop eating and turn to God. And just seek the Lord. And maybe on day one you've got his attention, but God allows spiritual warfare to occur that the response and understanding may not be for 21 days. That's rough, isn't it? But that was God's plan. I don't always like God's plan. Do you like God's plan all the time? Now, if I was right with God, Seth, I know that's such a terrible question. You're like, no, I don't like God's plan. It's such a bad plan. I'm not saying it's a bad plan. I'm saying I have issues. I wanted to see if you had issues with me. You have issues with God's plan sometimes? No, you're always happy with God's plan. No, I'm not. I'm like, what in the world happened here? This could not be your perfect will. But wrestle with God. He does love me. He does care. I never want to forget that. But I love this kind of stuff that says something might be going on. I need to stay steadfast, focus on the Lord, and seek his face and seek understanding. But am I truly chastening myself and correcting myself and really examining myself? Am I truly walking with God, or have I fooled my own self? And so I love it. Now look at verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning mourning 3 full weeks. So I find this interesting. I really haven't talked to too many people that are doing the Daniel fast, and there's no criticism. But I didn't sense that it was this overwhelming desperation, a time of mourning, a time of chastening themselves, a time of seeking understanding for God. And so I don't know if you can schedule a Daniel fast. I think you just need to seek the Lord. And here's the cool thing. There was nothing magic about 21 days. What the key was, Daniel fasted, sought the Lord's face until God gave him understanding. You know, I mean, if I were going to do the Daniel fast, I'd say, Lord, I'd love understanding right now. Because, man, I smell that steak. No, and so it's, but you need to chasten yourself, right? And so look what he did. He says in verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread. Does that mean he ate the moldy bread? I don't think so. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh. So he didn't eat any meat, nor wine. Again, that doesn't indicate fermentation or not. And so remember, grape juice would be the beverage of choice, because if you just drank straight water, even if you were used to it, it would cause intestinal issues. And I tell you this all the time, the number 3 cause of death in children under 5, still in the year 2024, is dysentery, diarrhea caused by bad water. That's terrible. Still, when you travel internationally today, they say, don't drink the water. 2,000 years ago, that was even more so the case. So the beverage of choice would be grape juice. And so, I'm not going to go into all kinds. I'm not. So he ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth, neither did I anoint my face at all. And so he wasn't, I don't think he was trying to let everyone know he was fasting, but there was an anointing where Daniel was in leadership and he was not getting all dressed up and anointing his face. He said, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now God sends a messenger. God sends a messenger. Let's look at this in verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that would be the river, the Tigris River, just another name for the Tigris River. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. The best people can understand is Uphaz is just a location that we don't know where it's at. You know, so it's gold from a certain location. The only other time it's used is in Jeremiah. And it said gold from Uphaz. So gold of Uphaz. Verse 6. This messenger, his body was like the beryl, or more of a yellow color, and his face as the appearance of lightning. That's just amazing. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, upon the other men that didn't see the vision, so that they fled to hide themselves, even though they didn't see the vision. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. I'm going to stop there. How many of you? Let me see if I raise a hand. I should do the reverse, because you guys are so not. You don't look like you're ready to participate tonight. You ready to participate tonight? So here's my question, just so you know, before I ask you to raise your hand. So I'm going to, don't raise your hand yet. I'm going to ask you, how many of you think verses 4 through 9 are a description of, it would either be a Christophany, a theophany, whatever you want to call it, a pre-incarnate appearance, pre-incarnate, before Jesus put on flesh. How many of you think that verses 4 through 9 are describing an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Raise it high. What do we got? We got 1, 2, 3. We got 1, 2, 3. Nassim Caves, peer pressure. 3. Did I see 4? Did I see 4? Okay. Sister Carla, 4. Is that it? Is that all we got? 4? Anybody else? I got Clay. I got Stephen. I got Stephen, 5. Herod, already be, you know, right here, you know, but it's, so I will tell you, I want to show you this. Let's look at some descriptions of the Bible has of Jesus, right? So I don't think you're crazy. Now, I will tell you, here's the key. If there is only one person from verse 4 through the end of the chapter, there's only one person, I don't think there's any way it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think it is possible that more than one person is in this passage. Well, let's just look at some descriptions of Jesus. I don't know if we even have to make a determination. The reason I love to look at it is I want to get our minds on Jesus anyway. And so I think if there is more than one person, and I'll show you how that could possibly be. And the text, it could easily be that way in the text. If verses 4 through 9 is a separate person, I think it might be Jesus. One of the things that would make me hesitate to say it's Jesus in verses 4 through 9 is that Daniel had no strength. And I think Jesus would have provided some strength, but maybe not immediately. So let's just look at some descriptions. So I said, is it a Christophany or a Theophany? Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. One of the greatest descriptions of Jesus. This is John the Apostle. This is after Jesus had ascended into heaven after his resurrection. And it gives us a picture of what potentially Jesus may have looked like when he rose from the dead. At least this is a picture of what Jesus will look like when he comes back. And so nobody recognized him after he came out of the grave. But John speaking here, John the Apostle, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, unto Pergamos and Thyatira, unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, or the thighs, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, as you see that, let's go back and look at Daniel 10. I want to show you there seems to be some similarities. Not exact, but similarities, right? Look at this in verse 5. We're just going to read verse 5 and 6. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ufaz. His loins would be girded, and you see that in Revelation, right? You see that in Revelation, that and gird about the paps with a golden girdle, right? So be a similar description. Verse 6, his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Now, what it says here is, it doesn't say his face. We'll look at another verse that talks about his face. So it says in verse 6, his face was as lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. I don't know of any other passage that speaking of, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that eyes of lamps of fire. And this says his eyes were as a flame of fire. So it is, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And it says here, his feet like unto fine brass. I don't know of any other descriptions of an angel like this as well. You could go back to the description of Satan before his fall, and there's some glorious description of him. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Similarities? That doesn't mean it is Jesus. But again, I will tell you, I would argue that if this is more than, if it's only one person, I don't think it would be Jesus, but maybe it is. Let's look at a few more verses just of the description of our Savior when he comes back. Revelation chapter 19, and I saw heaven open. This is when Jesus comes back and with us. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So you could argue that this vesture in Revelation 10 is not dipped in blood, but you could also argue that it's not dipped in blood yet because he hadn't yet done the sacrifice at Calvary. And then I want you to see Matthew chapter 17. This is the Mount of Transfiguration where he was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And so here's a few questions. Here's a few questions. So just question number one. Are verses 10 through 14 a new messenger? And this is, to me, I want you to know this. This shouldn't be issues of division with us. Enjoy this. I want you to think about this. If all we had was verses 4 through 9, how many of you would say this is probably an appearance of Jesus? I would have. But there ain't no way Jesus struggled and was delayed 21 days. So if there's only one person, then it's not Jesus. Jesus does not struggle with his creation. The only time you ever saw Jesus struggle was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that wasn't with human beings. That was with your sin and his condemnation before the Father. Far different. Far different. But look at verses 10. I want you to see this now. Let's look at verse 9. And so you say, oh, you're just goofy, maybe. And so, verse 9, yet after he hears the voice, yet heard I the voice of his words. So he's the only one that sees the vision, and he heard the voice of his words, and it sounds like the other guys, they didn't see the vision, but maybe they heard the words. I don't know. But they ran. They quaked. They ran. He says, verse 9, yet I heard the voice of the words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Deep sleep. Verse 10. If it said, and behold his hand. It says, and behold an hand. touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So you see, he's on his face in a deep sleep. Then he gets on his hands and his knees. And then this messenger in verse 11 says, stand upright. So do you see how it possibly could be a different person? He just says, behold, an hand touched me. And so here's what it could be. So I want you to see that then I think, and then here's the question. I ask this, are verses 15 and 17 another messenger? You're like, oh man, I thought this was that. It could be. So look at verse 14. Verse 10 through 14 is this individual having a conversation with Daniel, telling him about the 21 days that he was delayed. And then verse 15. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb, silent, speechless. And behold, this sure sounds like it possibly could be somebody else. One like the similitude of the sons of men. More human looking. One like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Could that possibly be a third person? Or maybe for some of you a second person? I don't know. And said unto me that stood before me, O my Lord. And then I opened my mouth, and then Daniel speaks. But look at this. Look at verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And I'm telling you, verse 18, it says, then there came again. This might be the guy from verses 10 and 14 coming again and telling him, I'm off to Persia to fight the battle with Michael. Here's the possibility. So I don't know if I've told you all that I conclude here, did I? I said this. It seems clear that verses 18 and 19 are the same as verses 10 and 14. I think you'd agree with that. Just go with me, because I mean, there's no way if you haven't read it. I have been perplexed. I'm telling you, the first time you read this, you're like, Jesus, right? Yeah, I mean, you're thinking this is Jesus. Until you're like, no, Jesus isn't ever, until he came as a lamb, he's never, ever. I mean, it's all that Jesus is humility, but not in this sense. Not to the prince of the power of the world, right, of the air. And so it's possible that if 10 to 14, or excuse me, 4 to 9 is Jesus, Jesus could show up to Daniel and want to encourage Daniel. It's the only way it could be Jesus, in my opinion. Verse 10 to 14, a new guy shows up, boom, touches Daniel's shoulder and then tells him why God didn't respond. Don't you love this? He explained to Daniel, Daniel, why didn't God respond on day one like Gabriel did? Well, because there was this battle going on. And then it does appear that in verses 15 to 17 that it's a new person. And so I leave you with that. So I think we're all in violent agreement, right? I think even those that raised their hand and said it was Jesus, your question would have been, how could Jesus struggle with any angelic being, right? Well, if verses 10 through 14 is the same as 4 through 9, it's not Jesus. I'll go to my grave with that. Now, there are good commentators that you would like that they have explanations that I just thought, for how Jesus could struggle, and I just thought it was goofy. Jesus never has ever struggled with the devil. When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, it's not like the way we use temptation. Jesus wasn't like, oh man, I like some bread. Man, is it cheese biscuits from Red Lobster? You know, he wasn't struggling. He wasn't struggling. But you and I, when we say we were tempted, we're like, maybe, right? That's not what it was. Is temptation was presented to Jesus. He couldn't sin, but let me tell you, it never even got to that. He wouldn't sin. He understood the deception. He understood the ugliness of it, and he used the word of God to defeat the devil. So understand this. It's kind of a joke. I think that's why the devil gave up so easily, because he's like, you're just mocking me. This is, you know, so I think he in essence mocked the devil. So let's just look at a couple things then. What was the response to the messenger? I want us to look at the response. There was great quaking. Great quaking. It is, look at verse 7. And I did and saw the vision, For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but boy, they were aware. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. That is a response that you will have if Jesus shows up in his glorified form. And so it's very interesting, right? It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. This might be too difficult. This is the smallest font I've had in a while. How many tell me that's too small? I won't go this small. I think it's like a 60 font. So 60 you can handle? All right. It says, in the year that Uzziah died, you guys remember this? I just think it's good for us just to be reminded. This is Isaiah's response. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. What a revelation that God gave Isaiah. High and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with two, he covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with his smoke. Well, that's a pretty powerful voice. You know, the post move. Verse 5, then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I won't read the rest, but one of the seraphims come and places it on there, and then the great passage, I'll read it, it's good. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, it's just good, I don't want to sort change it. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had already taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, the mercy of God, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. What a picture. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. But I'm going to dwell on this for a little bit. When Isaiah saw this, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. When you and I, in this flesh, if we were to be before the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory, we would instantly be overwhelmed with our sin. So I want you to see this. I want you to see that there was no strength or retention of strength. But the third thing I want you to see, beauty turned into corruption. That's very similar to Isaiah chapter 6. Look at this in verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. If verse 4 through 9, most of this I could accept that this would be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in even a subdued glory. This isn't quite Revelation chapter 1. I think we'd all agree with that, right? But this is if this is a messenger or an angel, or a prince, that God uses that term in this chapter, it's one of the most glorified ones you've ever seen, right, show up. And so, but when he says beauty turned into corruption, it's that, you know, Daniel, we know this, good-looking guy. That's why he was chosen by Nebuchadnezzar. They wanted those that looked good and were smart. But Daniel was always given praise, I'm sure, for his beauty. And he said, instantly I knew I was worthless. And I saw myself for what I was, and I wonder, did he see himself for who he was in reflection to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, this is the reality. We must always remember this. The closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we will be overwhelmed with sin. You can be walking with God, and when you get close to Christ, you will be abhorred by your uncleanness, and so will I. I think you should praise the Lord for him giving you victory over those lifelong besetting sins, and I think you ought to expect him to give you victory, and you don't have to carry those to your grave. But just be all careful that you don't think you're a hot shot when you have victory over some of those besetting sins. Because if the black light, or, you know, if you put a black light on this carpet, you guys would be lifting your feet right now. That's why we got this color carpet, right? You have no clue. Don't bring a black light. But see, the Lord shines the white light. I wonder if it was Christ. I'm not trying to add anything to the Scriptures when I say I wonder if the person that put his hand on him was a different person. And I wonder if this wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Because constantly in these last two chapters, what do these messengers tell Daniel? God loves you. You're beloved. God loves you. Daniel, if you forgot, God loves you. Why? Daniel was afflicted. He was literally distraught and somewhat miserable. I want you to be encouraged that if you're miserable, God loves you. And I'm not telling you that he's going to fix all your problems if you do this Daniel fast and seek the Lord's face. But I will tell you this, if you haven't done it and you're still distraught, I would seek the Lord in this fashion, in complete desperation. And don't worry if day one it's not fixed. You know what's interesting? They tell you that in 21 days you can change any habit. God had Daniel fast for 21 days. See, the goodness of God could have been with Daniel, and Daniel might not have known it, but when whoever that was that showed up in verses 4 through 9 revealed to Daniel that corruption, maybe just Daniel, 21 days free from something that he was struggling with, and God said, well, you know, 21 days, you can get over any habit. I'm not saying God's goodness was that he had Daniel wait 21 days. I want you to see then, really, what I want to go to is spiritual warfare. I want you to look at verses 12 and 13, and let's just look at the spiritual warfare here. If this is the same messenger, then it's not Jesus. If this is a different messenger, there's something going on. Let's just look at verse 12. Then this messenger said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. God hears your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia wants you discouraged. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's what I believe. The devil hates every single person in this room. Saved or lost, he would slaughter every one of you. The protection of God is on every single person that takes a breath. Our God is an amazing God. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, whether that's one of Satan's minions or Satan himself, I'm telling you, it might be Satan himself. I'll show you a few verses here in just a second. Because Michael is a stud. All right? When Michael shows up, people get a move. There's only one person that looks like it appears to be a little bit of an equal. I don't even know if I like saying that. I'm not worried about disparaging Michael, but let's just look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. That's a long time for this spiritual warfare. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Oh, then I'm freed. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thee. Let's just look at a few verses, spiritual warfare, and I'm going to show you a few examples. You see this. Folks, spiritual warfare is more real than you and I. There's more spiritual beings than inhabit the earth. That's what I believe. And so Ephesians 2 says, wherein in time past, Paul talking to these believers in Ephesus, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. Oh, that's interesting. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I highlight this. It's the devil, the prince of the power of the air. And what is destroying Christianity today? All the information flowing over the air. Who do you think controls the... I will tell you, somebody told me this the other day. I've never heard this before. I was having a conversation with somebody. So I have no idea who's a gamer here and who's not. They've said their studies, so they said this. Gamers, they've done studies. I'm going to look it up. Those that spend all their time playing video games, males, you know, that's typically men, and their testosterone's lower. Their drive for life is lower. It's an epidemic. You could say, hey, what's wrong with playing a video game? I don't know. It looks like there's a study that says it's messing you up, man. You can do things that seem harmless. And the devil has a plan and you don't. He's had 6,000 years to study your psyche. He knows what he's doing. I'm glad greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I will tell you this. I am so glad I don't play video games. It's like, of course I don't. No, I mean, but it's, I'm telling you, so I will tell you this. My son, he thanked me because he just, all he wanted to do was play video games, and I get it. And so they were all laughing about this when we were together in Tampa. They're like, yeah, you remember Dad grounding Josh from video games for like 2 years? And Josh is like, now, you know, he said, Dad, thank you. I'm not a sissy. No, he didn't say that, but I did. So, you know, I was just like, no video games forever. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just knew there was just some draw. Become a weirdo, right? In the basement of your parents' house. That's why guys up to 30 years old, they have no drive. Get a job, get a woman, and get life, right? So, maybe that study's not even true, but I sure did like it. But I just heard that and thought I'd share it in the middle of a message. Anyway, spiritual warfare going on. Just make sure you get the point, okay? Whoever gamers are in here, they're like, I don't believe it. Anyway, okay, bad joke. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Your issue, my issue, is spiritual. Here's what he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I will tell you this, when you isolate yourself from the world, your thinking will be better. It'll change. Again, remember what we talked about this. Don't get separation from the world ahead of abiding in Christ and spending time with Christ and getting to know Christ and seeking His face. What did Daniel do? Daniel sought the Lord. Now, I want to show you just a couple examples. You'll see here, Ephesians 6, I want to show you that too. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are spiritual. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I will tell you, that's where the battle is. Oh, parents! The devil's after your kids. And he has a plan better than you do. And so, but God can change the mind. I love the God is so amazing how our minds can repair. You know, I mean, smoking was so prevalent when I grew up, but they say if you stop smoking, man, your whole lungs will repair if you're young enough and just as good as new. That's because God is that merciful and that good. And so I want to tell you this. Your mind can be repaired. My sister who had a stroke, I've watched God repair her mind. And I think she's given God credit for it. She has no idea how bad a shape she was in. Now, if she's watching this, I'm going to get serious trouble. But I'm telling you, she's starting to think better, walk better, talk better. That's God. He created in us the ability to repair. So you have bad habits, give them over to the Lord and seek His face. Now, look at this. Michael's mentioned here, Jude verse 9. But yet Michael the archangel, who contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. This is Michael, Mr. Stud. He is battling the devil over the body of Moses, because if you ask me, I think the devil wanted the body of Moses and he was going to make it a shrine. Let's worship Moses. And God said, Michael, go put a whooping on the devil. Looks like the devil can't match Michael. Because whoever this other guy was, in verses 10 through 14, when Michael showed up, it's like, hey, how you doing? And so he backed off. Then finally, I want to show you this. Some of you remember this, 2 Kings chapter 6. This is Elisha and his servant, and the king of Assyria. And so his servant, he said, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. Elisha's servant shows up and he's like, ah! We're hosed. You see all these chariots and all these horses. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What in the world are we going to do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that good? It doesn't mean that God's always going to rescue you. It doesn't mean that God's always going to rescue me. I will tell you this, he can. You know, there's battles going on. I pray every time we have a meeting here, I ask the Lord to clear this property of evil. And so when people don't show up, I'm like, I know why. No, I'm just kidding. I ask the Lord to clear it of evil. The devil wants to be here. Not because he's interested in the preaching. He wants to mess with you. He hates anything good that happens. And I don't know if he shows up at Hope Baptist Church, but I'll tell you this, it would be an honor if he did. I'm going to do a quick review. This is not on my notes, but I'll just go back to this. This will be my final notes. But let me just give you strength provided. I'm going to give you four things the Bible talks about. Look at verse 18 and 19, and then I'm done. I've got 2 minutes. I'll give you this quickly. Then there came again, this is Daniel. Let's look at verse 17. For how can the servant of this my Lord, and that word Lord is not Adonai, it's to be master or servant. It's the way a serf would talk to their master. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again, so I think this is the guy from verse 10 through 14. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Four things. One, he spoke words from God. It's this. You want to be strengthened? You need the words of God. He spoke words from God. Two, he said, fear not. The thing that'll just destroy you, destroy me. And men, we fear just as much as anybody else. We just cover it up better. It's fear. Be honest about it. Be courageous about it. And give it over to the Lord. He heard the words of God. He fear not. Receive the peace of God. God wants you to have peace. It's so consistent. Peace, 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 peace. Every time Jesus shows up. Four, I believe when Daniel talks here, look at middle of verse 19. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. He believed and received God's words. So I want you to know this. I'm not trying to talk about the Bible as though it's like, you know, some secret potion. It's this. Just reading the Bible. How many of you have said, I've read the Bible, and it was like, pfft. Okay, I love that. I mean, that's so good. My wife told me she has, so I'm just telling you that. But no, I have. You know why? It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to hear it. And then to do it. And then to see Christ for who he really is. Glorious and wonderful. And he is my strength. He is my fortress. Just as you read in Psalm chapter 62. We're going to have a great time next week in Daniel chapter 11. Whoever this messenger was, or messengers, this guy that fought the prince of Persia is the one who's going to be speaking in verse 1. I'll try to help you that with next week. Love the Bible. More importantly, love the Lord Jesus Christ.